And guys, welcome to another episode of Firebuilders Live. My name is Josh Korpel. I am streaming live from Key West, Florida. Today, I am so glad you guys are here. We have an amazing show. Alex Kravchenko is on the show. Alex, welcome to Firebuilders Live, my man.
Thank you. I'm very glad to see you, Josh.
I am very glad you're here too. I have so much to tell everybody about the amazing things that you have done, not just for me, but just in general in your life. But before we get into it, for those that are listening to Fire Builders Live for the very first time, here is how it works. We bring on experts. We take these big topics, these big goals, and we break them down into small steps, things that you can do every day to remain consistent and to improve. And today, we're talking about WordPress sites, which is a massive topic. A third of the internet is powered by WordPress. There are over 75 million WordPress sites out there, and they can be vulnerable. If you're most likely, if you are listening to this right now and you're online doing some type of business, you have a site, and no one wants their site hacked. No one wants to get their information stolen. There's all kinds of different reasons to do that. And so that's why I am so glad to have Alex with us today. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what this guy has done. First of all, Alex is in Kiev, Ukraine right now. That is where we met. He is not your typical coder, right? Not only is he a top-rated software developer, and I know from personal experience that his product is top-notch, but he also speaks four languages, has a master's degree in banking and finance. He owns his own company over there that not just employs, you know, his job, but he employs 10 other people. And he has extensive business experience outside of computer science. So for me, what's important is that someone that develops software has a good sense of life and a good sense of the technical capabilities of the code. And Alex is the perfect blend of those things. He is also a WordPress security expert. He's the creator of WordPress Mission Control, which is this monitoring system. It's essentially like if you were to put an alarm on your house, it's essentially an alarm for your website. I will let him tell you all about it. I cannot wait for this conversation. Today, we're going to be talking about the basics to secure your WordPress website, make you impenetrable. So here we go. Alex, again, I'm so excited to have you, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into it. First of all, the way that I like to start this, Alex, is, I know where you are right now, but tell everybody listening, where are you in the world and what is a typical day in Alex's life these days?
Well, I reside in Kyiv. It's in Ukraine. Ukraine is an Eastern European country. I think that US-based guests do not know much about it, but I can assure you that it is a very beautiful and modern country with interesting culture and great people. And I think that Josh can confirm that.
I can, actually. I was just going to say, I can very much confirm it. When I went over there a few years ago, Alex, we'd only met through the internet, through a website called Upwork, and yet you offered to host me. You brought me in. You introduced me to your family. We went around. We had a walking tour of Kiev. You not only explained the history of the city, but also the etymology of a lot of the words and languaging. It was like one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in a foreign country, and I have you to thank for that.
Thank you. I'm very happy to hear that. And maybe I just love different languages, and I love to delve into etymology of different words. And so we can find out that many languages have a lot of similarities between them. And Ukrainian language is also in some ways resemble English. For example, te same and the same are almost the same words.
And that's right.
I know that even you have started to learn Ukrainian.
I have, actually. For the last 8 months, I've been taking Ukrainian lessons four times a week. So зараз я скажу українську мову трошки.
That's really great. Almost without any faults.
Well, thank you, man. For everybody listening, I said right now I speak just a tiny bit of Ukrainian. But I can tell you that when I was over in Kiev, not only did I have a fantastic experience, but we went over a lot of software development. A lot of software development goes on in Kiev. Ukraine is known for that. How did you start with the software? Because I know that that wasn't your schooling, really.
Actually, I can tell that it always was something that is very interesting to me. And my father was a scientific programmer in one of our scientific institutions. And he bought me some books even in my childhood. So I knew a lot about programming throughout all of my life. And at one point, I just thought that perhaps this is something that I really love and I should pilot and go there because it's really something that I love to do. And I can say that since then, I really became happy because I'm really doing what I love. It was a very interesting lesson for me. You should always listen to your heart and do what you really want to do.
I 100% agree. And I think, too, it seems like there are so many similarities between the language that you've learned, spoken language, and the coding and learning a programming language. I can see there's a lot of similarities there.
Yes, I think the programming languages, they resemble real human languages. Most of them derive from English language, and there are very many similarities. And so I can say that a real programmer doesn't care in which language to code, as long as he just loves to do that. And these languages, of course, there are many, many different languages, and some of them are not, fully real languages as described by Alan Turing. They are only used for, some of them are created as a joke. Some are just for some specific purposes, but we are talking about major languages such as PHP or Ruby or Python or C# or Java. All of them are derived from a basic C language that was invented back in the 70s. The C language itself is quite hard to work with. And so these are the languages of a new generation that were developed perhaps in the late 80s and in 90s, and they are much easier to work with. As for me, I feel that even a child could handle programming, but I can see that many other people have some difficulties with it. So for me, it's like a passion. If you love it, it's easy for you. But if you don't, it can be a problem.
Well, what I love about the work that you have done, and by the way, the entire reason that Alex and I started our relationship was because I have a software, some of you may or may not know, there's a software called Funnel Mappy. In fact, probably a couple of you that are listening now have used it or are using it. And Alex, we took that from a complete concept all the way and built it up to the software that it is today. And what I love about what you do, Alex, is that is your philosophy as well, where you end up building a lot of this stuff from scratch because you want to understand it. You need to understand it. You can't just take blocks of code and throw them in and put them together in a disorganized way. Like, you were actually building a lot of this stuff from scratch to gain an inherent understanding. And I just had a lot of respect for all the kinds of things that you were able to do.
Yes, but I would say that another point here is that developing a lot of pieces from scratch will increase overall application's performance, which is really important in case of funnel mapping, because it's a browser-based design engine, and user experience should be really fast and smooth. And because of that, we had to develop many blocks from scratch rather than using available libraries.
And I love it. And it's honestly, it's helping so many people. It helps me every day. Tell me then, how did you make the transition to WordPress? I know that you do a lot of stuff with WordPress. So tell me a little bit about the history between you and what you understand about WordPress.
Well, actually, I would say that WordPress is basically the most popular content management system in the world. And previously, before I started coding, I was running a printing shop. And as the internet was growing more and more, and our clients began to transition there, and we had less and less orders for our printed materials. And so we had to go after our clients. And a new media in the 21st century is the internet rather than a paper. And so we had to continue to work with them. Actually, my first clients were the same clients I worked with for many years. And the first thing they needed is a marketing website for their business. And the WordPress was an obvious solution. Perhaps this is how I started to work specifically with WordPress. But I can say there is another thing about WordPress. Its motto is code is poetry. And I really love it because WordPress inside is beautiful. It can't be seen by a regular user, but I really love this code and I love to work with it. I've tried many other content management systems like Drupal or PrestaShop or Joomla or whatever, but I always return to WordPress. It is one love, I can say.
Well, because it's so widely used, it also kind of opens it up to vulnerabilities, from what I understand. There are certain ways. And one of the biggest, honestly, the biggest question that I'd love to ask you right now is, we all hear about hacking, right? You don't want to get your WordPress site hacked. But I don't feel like a lot of people know what that means or is or why people would want to gain control of your site to begin with. So can you explain a little bit about that? Why do people get hacked?
I can say that the most common reasons for being hacked is when people want to take advantage of your website, of your hardly earned traffic, of your clients, and then use them for their own purposes. For example, they can post links to other websites to increase their search engine optimization points. Or, for example, they can put some redirects in your website so the client will be automatically redirected to some casino or a drugstore or something illegal that they just can't put an online ad for it, you know. They don't have a legal means to bring traffic to them. And so they hack others' websites to put those redirects. Some people even have whole websites on your own website. You may even not notice it because they may have, those websites may have some strange links in Japanese or Chinese hieroglyphs. And you will never notice, but there are special tools that can catch such things. And of course, you need to clear all this, get rid of this, because it will seriously harm your business. And who knows, what if they put something illegal on your website, for example, in terms of law and copyright, and you may have problems with the law in your home country.
Yeah. Yep. So what it sounds like is that it really isn't always about stealing your personal information. Sometimes it's like hijacking your car, you know, so that they can get somewhere else.
Yes, absolutely. In most of the cases, they're not after personally you. They just want to take over a random website and use it for their own purposes. Sometimes, of course, they can attack you if they have reasons for that. For example, if they're your competitors, or maybe, I don't know, angry ex or something else. But in general, it's absolutely not personal. They're just trying to use any random website to do their things.
What have you found is the biggest vulnerability? So, you know, I feel like most people, when they get a WordPress site, they hear, ooh, WordPress, like it's just, I'm just going to install it and press go and everything's going to work exactly the way that it needs to. And it seems like that's not always a smart thing to do.
Yes, I think that many people do not think about the fact that since it is the most popular CMS in the world, it is also the main target for hackers. Why? Because when you have 75 million of nearly identical websites, I mean identical under the hood, you know what to do. You just create a script that tries to attack every WordPress site it can encounter in the internet. And the first thing I would do here is to create a strong password, because many people tend to create a very simple login credentials, like their username that is derived from their own name and maybe last name or their year of birth. And then they create something simple for a password in order to remember it. Yes, it is easy for them, but it is also easy for the hackers, because there is statistics how many combinations people use for their credentials, and there are scripts that are just trying in a loop until they find the right combination, and then they break into your website.
Well, question for you, right? Is there an easier way to come up, I've heard anyway, that it's not necessarily a password, but a passphrase. So if it's a sentence that maybe is 40 characters long, but it's one sentence that is easier to remember, but harder to randomly generate through those, programs that's all they do. Have you found that that's a better way to create a password?
I think that having, for example, 40 characters is of course better in this case, but it is always a bad solution to use some real words from the vocabulary, because it's the thing that those attacking scripts do. They're just trying all the English vocabulary in different combinations until they find the right one. So your password should not be a real word. It should be a random combination of letters and numbers and special characters. In this case, they will spend thousands of years until they find the solution. So you're safe.
Okay, so password is number one vulnerability.
Yes. And then another one is any third-party software you may install on your WordPress website. We know that WordPress itself is a very secure system that is developed by top-rated programmers all over the world. Their team is really strong, and they're doing a really good job. But there are tons of plugins and themes from other vendors, literally tens of thousands of them. You can choose whatever you like, But if it is from untrusted sources, for example, or if it is made by an inexperienced programmer, it can have a so-called exploit inside it, something that the hackers can use to break into your website. And so the second thing I would do is to carefully choose what I install to my WordPress website. If you're looking for a plugin, you should use only WordPress.com plugin directory rather than trying some plugins from untrusted sources. And the same is with the theme. You can buy yourself a good theme, maybe from ThemeForest or Template Monster, from some marketplace where everything is checked by experienced programmers before being allowed to the market.
And that theme, right? That theme, the theme and the plugins, when you say trusted source, what kind of things do you look for in a trusted source? How can they tell whether or not they can actually trust them? Is it that they're documented, that they come with a bunch of documentation, or is there something else?
I would say that a trusted source is what I mentioned before. It is WordPress.com or ThemeForest or something similar. If the piece of software was posted there, it means that it is from a trusted source. It was checked. You can always find many, many popular and plugins that are not free, that are sold for money. You can find them on GitHub. As you know, GitHub is a huge website with a lot of source code available for everybody. And you can find many plugins there. But you should ask yourself why somebody would post that plugin there. Perhaps because they have already inserted something inside the plugin that will harm your website. So even if you find something interesting for you anywhere on the internet, you shouldn't download and install it on your website.
Is that basically what, when people say malware, is that essentially what that is?
Yes, actually, malware, it's a malicious software. It's something that will harm your website. In most cases, it is being already built in inside the third-party software. So you should be very careful when choosing what to use with your WordPress installation.
So getting information, because I feel that once people have a WordPress site, then they go around and they go to the plugin store, and it's like a candy store, you know? They're just like, oh, I want that, and I want this, and I want that, you know? And they just download and tack things on. But like you're saying, that the security of your site and the integrity of the data that is contained within that site is only as good as your weakest link. And it seems like, yeah, a compromised plugin would be the weakest link.
Yes, and I would like to mention one more thing about it, that you can find the plugin that was abandoned long ago, for example, 2 or 3 years, and it is not supported anymore. There are no updates. There are no fresh versions of it. I would rather opt out of using it because the WordPress itself, it is constantly growing and updating. They're looking for any breaches that are still available in the WordPress core, and they always are fixing them. And older versions of plugins and themes, they're not following these new guidelines, and they may also be left with those breaches. So I think that it is also important to look at the date of the last release of the software.
And speaking of that, why is it important to continuously update your WordPress? You know, people get update notifications all the time that says, hey, update this thing. It's a new version has been released, etc. Is it important that people actually go through that no matter how many times? I feel like most people just ignore those.
I think it is very important from two perspectives. The first one is that every new version offers a better user experience. It works faster and it has more features. And the second one, they constantly fix any security breaches because, you know, hackers, they are always one step ahead. They are always looking for anything that can be exploited for their purposes. And they always find something. And in WordPress too, because WordPress is based on open source technologies like PHP, like MySQL database. And these things are constantly updated too. When WordPress started as a CMS, there was a PHP version 5.2, and now there is a PHP version 7.4. And the PHP itself became a lot faster and a lot more secure. So hackers would exploit even not specifically WordPress breaches, but something that was a problem for an older PHP version or MySQL version. And that is why it is really important to always update your WordPress as soon as you see notifications in your dashboard.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's one of those things that you, I feel maybe some people think about updates the same way that you think about Apple updates, where as soon as you update it, things are going to break. And it seems to me like it's the exact opposite. Like the updates are there to make it more secure. So just do it, you know, just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe you won't notice anything as a user, but it is really important in terms of security.
So then how about, so we have malware, which can kind of sneak in through these third-party plugins. So be very cautious of where you get those. You have updating and creating more secure passwords. You had mentioned to me one time endpoints, the way that people get in to their admin dashboard, right? Explain what you mean when you say an endpoint.
The endpoint is actually the URL address you can see in your browser. That last piece of the address, the web page you're trying to access, is called an endpoint. And a standard WordPress installation has two access endpoints. It is wp-login.php and wp-admin. Since these endpoints are similar for all 75 million of websites, it is very easy for automated scripts to break through these endpoints. In terms of, just a really big number of websites, they will break anywhere, not there, then there. And so the best thing you can do here is to rename those endpoints or just disable them. I have a story. One of my clients' website, which was a high-load news portal, I had my own credentials there, Alex, and test as a password, simply test. This website was never hacked because I just disabled those access endpoints.
And you're saying that because the credentials were so simple, I mean, it was just test, and like if they would have found it, it would have easily been hacked.
Yeah, of course. And I saw in logs that there were many attempts to log in with some random credentials, but they all were unsuccessful simply because it's not working. And in 3 years, they didn't succeed.
Is that something, doing something similar, is that something that someone could easily do at home or by themselves if they're not so familiar, or is it better to try and find somebody to actually help them with that piece?
Well, I can say that perhaps there are two approaches to this problem. You can alter some code, and of course you need experience to do that. But I'm pretty sure that there are many plugins out there that can offer a similar functionality. So a user that has no experience with coding can search and find something suitable and use it to rename or disable those endpoints.
So as we're talking about all of this, one question that I like to ask everybody that comes on this show is, when it comes to WordPress security now, and you might have touched on this a little bit, but I'd like to reiterate it because when people listen to this, I want them to be able to take away something. If anything, they do one thing, right, to improve their security, and maybe they can do that. They can either do that today, they can start doing it this week. What would you suggest that it would be?
Well, I must say...
I know, and it's tough. It's probably tough to narrow it down to just one.
I must say that website security and WordPress website security is a very large topic, and it's kind of hard to, you know, boil it down to one essential thing. I guess that the most essential thing is to do something for it every day. First of all, and the most important thing, is to be aware of what is going on with your website. So you should visit it every day and try and test it and see how users see it, how you see it, how it performs, and check all of its vital parameters. Then the second big deal here is to harden your WordPress security. And as I said, it is a very large topic. And perhaps if you can divide it into some small steps that will not be so frightening as the thing as a whole, and then just do it one by one, day by day, and then by the end of the month, you will have a pretty decent result, and you will really have a very, very secure WordPress website.
Well, I'm actually really glad that you said that, because that, my friend, is the very next question that I love to ask people. Is what would happen if they just consistently did something? And it seems like what you're suggesting is that there are a number of things that you can do for website security. But if you were just to break them down into little things to accomplish every single day, by the end of 30 days, you would have an incredibly secure website.
Yeah, actually, I have already written an article on WordPress security, and I'm going to post it on my website, wpmissioncontrol.com. And I think it's a very good idea of yours to break it down to 30 days, so to say to 30 steps. And perhaps I will rewrite it a little and prepare like 30 steps to your WordPress website security and post it there, so all of our audience can have an access to it and take necessary measures step by step, one by one, to make sure that their websites are really secure.
You know, as people think about this, one, that's a great idea. And thank you so much for everybody that's listening too. I thank you on behalf of them, because this is like a foreign topic for people. They don't really know, or they would like to just pretend like they don't need to know, and have, you know, their tech guy handle it. And it might very well be that they can just download this checklist, this 30-day checklist, and just give it to your technical VA or somebody that handles your site and make sure that they can go through it. But I'm actually curious of what you're going to say with this. I know that you have worked with so many people, and you must have seen all kinds of horror stories of what can happen if you lose control of your site, even for a short amount of time. Tell people what the reality is with that. Do you have a story or two that you could tell about, you know, when something bad happened and what the effects were?
Yes. For example, we had a story with one of our clients when their website was hacked by unknown hackers and was redirected somewhere else. was redirecting users somewhere else. And at the time, that was very important for them because they have started an online marketing campaign and they have paid for online ads on Facebook and Google for people to come to their website and sign up for their conference. And it was a very tight time frame. They had only months to find, say, 1,000 people. And at that very moment, the website stopped working as expected, and they were losing their potential clients and they were losing their money. And the strange thing was that, okay, I have cleaned the website, it is working okay. And next morning, they are calling me again, saying that the same thing with the website again. I'm cleaning it again, and the next day, and next day. And so we have found out that the website was contaminated by malware at every 9 a.m. every day. And actually, we found out that the problem is not in our website. It was our creation, and it was secure enough, but it was a problem of a hosting. They had a shared hosting, and the malware actually came from their neighbors, from somebody they don't know. And the solution was just to move to another hosting. And the next day we've done that, the problem is gone.
That's okay. So for people that don't really know, they're listening now, what hosting is, it's basically where all of your files and your website is stored.
The sense of hosting is like when you imagine that you should have a computer that stores all the files of your website, and that computer should be connected to the internet 24/7. You could host your website on your own computer, but at the very moment you close your notebook, the website is gone. So you need to pay somebody who has a computer that is running 24/7 every day, every week, every year. And so your website is always accessible. These hosting providers, they're looking like big storages with tight security, and there are thousands and thousands of computers inside, of course, without displays or keyboards. It's just a computer block with industrial air conditioners and all this stuff. And their sole business is to sell a disk space on their computers that are working, always working on the internet. And so you have to pay for a piece of that space to store your website there. So it is called to host your website. And there are many hosting plans available. The most cheaper one is a shared hosting. It means that there are many websites on the same computer. And so if some website has already been contaminated with malware, it can also harm its neighbors. And that is why we literally should move to another computer. And that helped us in this case.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like it's through no fault of your own. And well, just because you wanted to take the less expensive route and get shared hosting, maybe it's kind of your fault, you know, their fault. But yeah, that's something that you would never really think about. Which is why it's important. How long did it happen before you found that out? Were they checking every day?
I think we maybe missed 2 or 3 days when nobody noticed that something is wrong with the website. And it's not the first case when people notice it, say, in a week or two. And for all the time, it just didn't work. Or, for example, one woman told me that for some reason she didn't get any orders from her online store in this year. And then I checked it, and this web store was redirecting to an online casino. And she even noticed, because she was logging in as an administrator to that WP admin endpoint rather than going to the homepage and checking what is going on for regular users. She just didn't know, and that is why it is essential to be aware what is going on. And that is why I have developed my system, WordPress mission control, because it is checking all the websites that are connected to the system, checking them consistently every 5 minutes to make sure that everything is running all right. And then it makes backups. I think we should also mention backups. As I said previously, hackers are always one step ahead or maybe even 10 steps ahead. You can never prevent, and you never know when this happens. So there are no 100% security measures. You can always be hacked. And that is why it is essential to keep backups of your website. Because if the disaster has happened, you need to restore it fast. Otherwise, all your work is lost, maybe of many years. This would be really a problem. And so everybody should create a backup strategy of how often and what do they do to store their backups. WordPress.
And here, I'll put this on here because Leslie put something up. Let me say, he said, you know, my WordPress website was hacked. My host was a little help. I had to fix it myself. I should have had WP Mission Control. Agreed. And hopefully, Leslie, you were able to restore it in a way that Alex is talking about with having backups and as little interruption as possible. But it sounds like you ended up doing it yourself.
Yes, this is one of the things why I developed WordPress Mission Control is because I've noticed that the hosting company is always of little help. They just do not do these things. Their business is hosting, not coding or cleaning. They won't help you. The best thing they can do is just block your website to stop spreading the malware. But that is all. So you will always need to find somebody who will help you to clean your website and restore it. And this is also, it is also time, and time is money. So it is better to have somebody who will come at once, like, you know, like an alarm. And then a police comes, and so do we.
Well, I love the analogy of that, because if anybody, you know, it's almost like it's not a question of if, but when. You have something like this happen to you. It might not be this crazy hack, but it will be, there will be some problem. And just having, honestly, the peace of mind is incredible. How, if people have, I'm sure that there are folks listening now that probably have a couple of other questions, maybe some more detailed questions about their specific site or their specific situation. Tell me, what do you, aside, well, let's talk about WP Mission Control and what, how do people get in touch with you? How can they best contact you?
Let me see. I think that we have contacts on our website, wordpressmissioncontrol.com. We can get in touch with email, or I'm thinking about putting there my, you know, my messenger credentials for a faster connection, because sometimes people need to do this at once and they are not ready to wait for a day or two. And email is not supposed to be answered immediately, as you know.
Right.
And also we have a chat there, an online chat, so anybody can come in and chat with us, and we will tell and explain everything.
That's on wpmissioncontrol.com, the chat.
Right.
Okay. And is there also a contact form on that site as well? or something along those lines?
Absolutely. There is a contact form in the footer of the website that anybody can use to shoot us a message. And we have email contacts here. I'm just checking.
Yeah, perfect. No, it's good.
But I'm telling the truth.
No, this is great. I mean, honestly, you have been such a help with explaining concepts to me, even from the very beginning. You just have a gift for being able to explain very technical things in a very simple way so that anybody can understand what it is that is going on. That's always something that I have appreciated about you. So this has been such a great conversation. I just want to say thanks for taking the time and being on the show.
Thank you too. It is a really interesting experience for me.
And yeah, and I hope we can do it again. And honestly, this, like, guys, if you have any questions at all, I urge you, really, contact Alex. He knows what he's talking about. The guy is so multifaceted. He can get at the heart of the problem. I can't tell you how many things, Alex, you and I have been through. We've been through so many issues. Things have happened with hosting and website development and things that have popped up at the last minute. And I'm so grateful to have you. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. The same is with me. I'm really happy to have you as my friend.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And next time we will do this in Kiev over some drinks. So thanks again, guys. This is Josh and Alex signing off. Another episode of Fire Builders Live. Alex, thanks again. And we will see everyone next time. Join us again.
Побачимось.